This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Lieutenant Joe Kenda spent 23 years with the Colorado Springs Police Department, working his way up to the Homicide Division and eventually leading the Homicide Division. He had a 92% solve rate. Solved 356 of his 387 homicide cases over the years. And once he retired, he started sharing details of those cases on the TV show Homicide Hunter, which ran for 9 seasons on Investigation Discovery. He is now featured on American Detective with Lieutenant Joe Kenda, sharing stories from all around the country, also available on Investigation Discovery and the Discovery Plus app. This week, Lieutenant Joe Kenda is back with Homicide Hunter for the special Never Give Up, which airs on Wednesday night, August 17th at 7 p.m. Mountain Time. It'll also stream on Discovery Plus. And joining me right now is Lieutenant Joe Kenda. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Welcome back to Colorado, at least via the telephone.
Yes, of course.
I have to imagine the Colorado tourism people did not really care for you being on TV for 9 seasons, recounting all of the grisly murders that happened in Colorado Springs.
Oh, I would assume so, but the point really being that the murder rate in Colorado Springs is average to below average for the number of people in the city. It's just that when you put it on every week, it seems like somebody's getting knocked off every 15 seconds, but that's not the case. So it depends on your ability to understand what this is. It's a documentary that took place over decades, not over weeks.
Sure. And even though the rate is average or lower than elsewhere in America, your crime-solving rate was much higher than most places. So, quite frankly, Colorado Springs comes off as being a lot safer.
Ultimately, yes. The point of the show was, if you do something evil in Colorado Springs, you're going to go to jail.
And you're going to be the one locking them up in most cases.
That is correct, yes.
Well, you are returning to your Colorado Springs roots for the new Homicide Hunter Never Give Up special. That's this Wednesday, August the 17th, on Investigation Discovery and available for streaming on Discovery Plus. What can you tell me about this case?
This was a discovery of a nude female in the snow, dumped in an alley in the rear of a business on St. Patrick's Day morning, 1987. Raped and murdered. We worked this case dramatically and difficult, one turn after another, for years. Without result. But at the time this occurred, DNA testing was being created in England. We'd heard about it. It was a rumor that maybe someday DNA could be used to uniquely identify a perpetrator based on liquids found at a crime scene from the individual responsible for the crime. Even though it was unknown, we suspected that maybe someday this would work. So we consulted laboratories and said, how could we preserve seminal fluid, blood, whatever other liquid we find at a crime scene that is connected to a perpetrator? How can we preserve it to be examined decades later? Well, you can freeze it in liquid nitrogen, which is not simple and it's expensive. But we decided to do it anyway. Because what if this happens? What if this comes to a future technology that can be used? It could lead us nowhere. It could mean nothing. It could also mean everything. So we did it anyway. And then, of course, it did begin to go do that. And DNA technology is like all scientific endeavors. It's a living, breathing thing. It advances. When it began, you needed a microliter of liquid to identify and get a DNA profile. That's a lot. Today, touch your desk, and I'll tell you who you are.
Hmm. And the DNA technology is advanced. You used to have to get a sample from the suspect directly, right? But now people are using like sites like 23andMe, and they're actually putting together a genetic profile and then finding suspects that way.
They're able to use those things to develop a family tree and see where they intersect, resulting in at least a name. For all those years, 32 years, our man was a ghost. We had no idea who he was. But 32 years later, thanks to DNA technology and genealogy, the interest in genealogy, he has a first, middle, and last name. And I testified against him last June 2021 in Colorado Springs in court. And as I walked by the defendant's table, I thought, well, Michael, I've been looking for you for a very long time. And here you are.
And there was some additional kind of old school gumshoe, if you will, work that was done in identifying the suspect and then trailing him to collect some more evidence.
That's correct. Once you have the genealogical profile, you don't have proof. You have a possibility, a very likely possibility, that this individual is in fact the unknown attacker in your case. But in order to prove that, you need a DNA sample from him. So we surveilled him for a week, and he went and had lunch, and he abandoned the cup he used on the table. When he did that, he had no expectation of privacy, no warrant is required. We collected that cup, submitted it for laboratory examination, and bingo, it's him. The exclusion of all other people on the planet, it's he and he alone that left his DNA both on and inside the victim in the cushion.
Talking to Lieutenant Joe Kenda, who spent 23 years with the Colorado Springs Police Department, spent 9 years on Homicide Hunter on Investigation Discovery, is now an American detective with Lieutenant Joe Kenda on Discovery Plus and Investigation Discovery, and the new Homicide Hunter Never Give Up special this Wednesday night, the 17th at 7 o'clock our time. Now, not only has DNA technology advanced, but how it is accepted in court has also changed over the years, because it didn't used to be taken at face value by the courts.
That's correct. But over time, that has changed. And the result is the juries as well see it as damning evidence, because it is. This is you. There is no other you. There's just you. And you left this blood, this seminal fluid, this whatever, at this crime scene. How do you explain that? Well, you can't explain that. You can try to explain it, but it doesn't work very well.
No, and this has to have been one of the, you know, biggest advancements in investigation since the thumbprint, right? Fingerprints. What was that, in the 1800s?
Well, it's even more than that, because most of the forensic material and most of the forensic methods are based on the opinion of the examiner. DNA testing is a scientific certainty. It's not an opinion.
Yeah, there's no interpretation.
No interpretation required.
Now, I understand, as you recount the details to me of the special Never Give Up, Homicide Hunter, I understand that for all of those seasons on the show, you never really looked at notes. They didn't write you a script. All of this is retained in your memory, all of these details of these cases.
Yes. I have a photographic memory, which is both a blessing and a curse. You remember the good, but you also remember the bad. But when I started this programming, Homicide Hunter, I insisted there be no script. I told the director, I said, I'm not an actor. I'm a policeman. I got over playing dress-up when I was 5. You should have, too. Oh, he didn't like that. And I intended for him not to like it. And I said, turn that camera on and let me tell you about this case for 15 minutes. You don't like it, we'll talk about a script. All right. He was prepared not to like it. I spoke to the camera for 15 minutes, and I said, well, I said, we don't need a script. Just go ahead. And so it's been that way ever since.
So this director thought he had a chance with a guy who spent 23 years sitting in a room with cold-blooded killers, getting them to confess, or at least getting answers from them. I mean, you have a style, if you watch the show and just talking to you this morning, you definitely have a way with putting some people on their back of their heels a little bit.
That's the entire point. You keep people off balance, it's to your advantage. To let them. They have a plan. Everybody has a plan. They know what they're going to say when the police confront them. And when you start to take that apart one piece at a time, and you're doing so very quietly, you don't raise your voice, you don't yell at them, you just demonstrate what a pathetic story they're telling you. They get very nervous because their plan isn't working. And that's what you want, off balance. Because then they make some admissions they wouldn't otherwise make.
And is that a skill that you developed over the years? Is that something that you already had that you brought with you and it happened to be a perfect match for the career that you had?
I don't think I thought about that much. I think it was based on trial and error. I made mistakes when I was a young detective. I would interview someone and cause an emotional reaction where all of a sudden they just stop talking to you and they want a lawyer. And I would recall thinking to myself, boy, don't do that again. You learn from your mistakes. You try not to make the same one. You're going to make mistakes, but you try not to make the same mistake. So you wind up understanding humans and knowing what's going to motivate them. But initially, you want them relaxed. So you talk as if you're just their friend. And after some period of time, then you start to say, well, you know, you said this, and now you say this. That's interesting, isn't it? Don't you think it is? And you see the change in their face. Like, uh-oh, you know, I realized I did that. No, you didn't. But you did, and I did realize it. So now we're going to play a different game.
I'm ready to confess to you right now, even though I haven't done anything. It's a very persuasive. Now, I mentioned that you have a photographic memory, you did as well, and that you guys had a very high solving rate there in Colorado Springs, but it's not 100%. There are some cases that you did not solve, and I imagine, given your background and your style and your photographic memory, that those ones really still bother you to this day.
Absolutely. I see them every night in my dreams. It's a river of death that you never get past. It's just the way things are. You suffer with that. It's the price you pay for the work. The price is worth it, in my view, but you do suffer. They used to call it shell shock, and then they called it battle fatigue, and now they call it PTSD. What's PTSD? Well, you know, it's shell shock. We like the semantics of saying something that no one understands, but the result is the same. You see violent, horrible things. You have sworn to do something about it, and when you cannot, it just never stops. It doesn't for me, anyway.
And a lot of people have unhealthy coping mechanisms with that. I imagine that going back and sharing the stories and sharing the successes might be a healthy means of coping for you.
It was. It was therapeutic. That's why I agreed to it. I noticed that when they asked me to do this, and they said, well, tell me about this. Yeah, okay. And it was just like you open a floodgate. I said things to that camera I've never said to my wife. And I felt better after I did that. And after doing it for years, I feel enormously better than I ever did. So it's extremely useful for me for having done this. When the show was first on television, I noticed my wife was looking at me instead of the TV. I said, what are you looking at? She said, I never knew you did that. I didn't, because I never told you. And you mistakenly think you're protecting her from seeing what you see, but that's a mistake. I mean, she just suffers more and imagines worse and all those sorts of things. So that was something dumb that I do a lot of dumb things, but that one was dumb.
Well, you did a lot of great things and a lot of great work, and we've seen a lot of it over the 9 seasons of Homicide Hunter, again on Investigation Discovery on the Discovery Plus app. And the new special is called Homicide Hunter Never Give Up. It is a theatrical length feature, and it is one of 3. There's 2 more yet to come. Do we know any details on the other 2 yet?
Well, not really. They're still in production, and we're still playing with them and making decisions and so on. So no point in describing them because it may not be that way by the time it's all said and done. I'm not sure when they're going to air either, but we've got this first one, and I've seen it, and I think people will like it. It's quite good. It's well presented. It's different than Homicide Hunter in some ways, and other ways it isn't. So it's a very different view of things.
For those in this area that remember the case or at least followed last summer when there was a conviction, it's of particular interest. It's this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock Mountain Time on Investigation Discovery and streaming on Discovery Plus. Lieutenant Joe Kenda, you've also got a couple of books, I Will Find You and Killer Triggers. Any plans for another book anytime?
I have a third one in the hands of the publisher as we speak, my first attempt at fiction, so we'll see how that goes.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time, and again, welcome back to Colorado, at least via the telephone. 23 years with the Colorado Springs Police Department, Lieutenant Joe Kenda, great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us three times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.